Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah chapter 4 called Jonah's Anger and God's Compassion.
This morning we are going to finish up our study in Jonah. We're actually going to be in Jonah chapter 4. So here's what you need to do. Locate your New Testament and start turning backwards. So find Matthew and then start turning backwards. And it's not that many pages. You'll pass up Malachi, Zechariah. Keep on going. You'll pass up Haggai, Micah, and you're going to get to the book of Jonah. The story of Jonah is a very well-known account, but many people don't know what the main purpose of the story is. The main theme of Jonah is salvation. It's about God's heart for people. It's that God does not want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. As we've looked at the account together, we saw a man, a prophet in Israel, a historical figure who did not want to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is located in what is now modern-day Iraq. It was part of the Assyrian Empire, known to be a very ferocious and vicious people. One of the main descriptors of this people group was violence. They were known as a very violent people. When they conquered someone, they were a very warlike people. They would cut off, and I'm sorry to be gross this morning, but they would cut off the hands and the feet of conquered troops and enemies. They would kill the king of a conquered nation in front of their king, and they would skin that king alive. I mean, it was just, they were a brutal, brutal people. So when Jonah got the call to go to Nineveh, and he knew that that was the capital of Assyria, Jonah went the other way. He went as far west as he could, as we talked about. He went to a place called Tarshish, which is probably near modern-day Spain, or at least he tried to go there, and God brought a storm because Jonah was running away from God. And Jonah knew it was because of him. So he finally is thrown overboard because that's what he requests to save the life of the sailors. God makes the storm increase and Jonah is swallowed up by this great fish. And that's part of the story, is his being in that fish 3 days and three nights. And Jesus said in the book of Luke that Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. And a sign of what? A sign of his resurrection. A sign of a person who went into a place that is a great fish and who came out unexpectedly. And he was regurgitated, you remember, there on the seashore, and he had a revelation within the fish, and the revelation was, God, I don't want to die, I want to live. What I have vowed, I will pay to you, and I will go to Nineveh if that's what you want me to do. And so Jonah, you know, packed his bags. He may have gone on foot, he may have gone in a camel caravan, but he probably traveled 400 or 500 miles to go to this place called Nineveh. We don't know exactly what message God specifically gave to him, and that is, he may have preached an abridged version of it, or this may be the exact message, but he went finally through the streets of Nineveh, and he said, 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. You have 40 days. And I think in Jonah's heart, his desire was that God would destroy this place. I think he felt enough hatred in his heart, and people think that, you know, they comment on this, and because Jonah was a prophet and other prophets prophesied of the doom of Assyria and Nineveh specifically in Nahum and Zephaniah and those little books, some believe, and this is conjecture, that maybe Jonah had some insight prophetically, since he was a prophet, that maybe God was going to use Assyria in the future to bring his own northern tribes into captivity there in Israel. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe that's part of the reason why he ran away. We don't know. But ultimately, we know that he was faithful to what God called him to do. He went through the city and he told the people, in 40 days, God is going to destroy this place. It may be an abridged version of the message because we have nothing that he said, you guys need to repent. We have nothing that he said, you guys need to turn to the God of Israel. But what he did say was, you're going to be destroyed. God has decided to bring calamity to your nation. It's over for you in 40 days. And he went through the city as God had instructed him. But what happened was the greatest revival, theologians agree, in history, because it says in verse 10, when God, verse 10 of chapter 3 in Jonah, when God saw their deeds, that is the Ninevites' deeds of repentance, that they turned from their wicked way, Jonah 3:10, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Jonah became the tool, if this is the greatest revival in history, for the greatest turning of a city and a nation in history. And we have evidence that it was just not Nineveh, but Assyria, where the whole nation itself, from the king on down, repented and got right with God. They put on sackcloth, they sat in ashes, they fasted, and God relented, because God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants people to come to him. Peter says, in the last days, mockers will come and they will say, where's the promise of the second coming? And Peter says, don't you know, to paraphrase, God is patient. One day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. He's patient. He doesn't want anybody to what? Perish, but all to come to repentance. That's why the Lord waits. Had the Lord come in the early 60s, I would have never been born. And had he come before I got saved, I would have been lost. So God is patient. And salvation is very personal when you think of it in those terms. That God was patient with me, that he called me from the foundation of the world into his kingdom. And he waited for me to be born and to come to him and to be wooed into his kingdom by his Spirit. And so this great revival, perhaps the greatest in history, Jonah is the tool. And you would think that Jonah would be a happy camper, that he'd be rejoicing that these people turned to Christ or to the living God. But verse 1, chapter 4 says, but it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He was greatly displeased, strong language, and he became angry with God. He was not happy about the revival. He was angry about the revival. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been angry about something that God has done or not done? And the interesting thing to think about is the Bible says that when one sinner turns to God in repentance, in Luke 15, the angels rejoice in heaven and God rejoices in heaven. We'll go to that account in a moment. The angels actually high five when one sinner turns and repents. We have thousands, hundreds of thousands of people coming to Christ or coming to the living God Yahweh in the Old Testament. And heaven is rejoicing and Jonah is angry. And that's why this message is called Jonah's Anger and God's Compassion. I wonder how many times heaven is rejoicing and I'm angry. I wonder how many times I'm murmuring and heaven is actually rejoicing. Remember when Moses got mad at the people? You know, they were whining all through their desert wilderness wanderings and they wanted water. And so God told Moses to speak to the rock. Remember the first time he struck the rock? And he's supposed to speak to it, but he got angry and he misrepresented God and he struck the rock twice and the water flowed. But God said, you didn't treat me as holy, Moses, because I was not angry, but you were angry. That's the idea here. Jonah is angry, but God is not. God wanted these people to be saved because he does not delight in the death of the wicked. And sometimes I think we have a little bit of a bias, to be honest with you guys, about who we think should become a Christian. Sometimes if someone comes from a different nation or they dress differently than us, it's so easy for us to pass people by. I told you earlier that this geographic location there in modern day Iraq and the surrounding countries where Assyria was is an area now dominated by Islam. And we know that Islam is raising all kinds of issues in our nation. The most heated debate of late is the mosque that they want to put up there near Ground Zero. And there's a lot of ire and a lot of disgust coming from people who know what's behind that. That typically they will erect mosques in places where they had a victory in some sort of jihad or war. And we seem to have a lot of ignorance that's going on. But I can find in myself sometimes passing someone like that, maybe dressed in that clothing, and not even bothering to think that I might witness to them. And maybe, if we want to be really bluntly honest, maybe thinking to myself, you know what, I wish they would just go back to their country. I wish they would just be out of here. And that's said to you for two reasons. One, to be perfectly open to you this morning about how we all struggle with biases. But two, for you to know what Jonah might have been thinking. Because these are the kinds of thoughts that were going through his head. It was not easy for him to go to this people group and obey God. And that's why he ran. That's why he went. And he explains it. He prayed, verse 2, to the Lord, Jonah 4, 2. And he said, please, Lord, was this not what I said while I was still in my own country or at home? Now we get an insight that we did not get in chapter 1. When the call came to Jonah, Jonah said something to God. And this is what he said to God. He said, basically, I know how you are, God. And I have this deep feeling inside of me that you're going to save these people when I preach to them. And you're not going to bring calamity on them because I know how you are. So when I was at home and this first call came and I felt the tug to go to Nineveh, this is what I said to you, Lord, you're going to save these people, aren't you? Aren't you, Lord? Have you ever talked to God that way? God, I know what you're going to do here. And it's not sitting well with me right now, right? It's almost reminiscent of Jesus' prayer, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if it's possible, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me. But every believer hopefully can say after that, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So Jonah, notice what he says. He says, therefore, middle of two, in order to forestall this, he didn't seem to think that he could totally change it, but he thought maybe he could put it off for a while. In order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. If you have the NIV, it says, that is why I was so quick to flee, for I knew. Now, notice what Jonah knows about God. It's not that Jonah doesn't know God. He knows God. I knew that thou art a gracious, some things about God here, and compassionate God. You're slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and one who relents concerning calamity. I know how you are, and I know you're going to forgive these people, Lord, if they repent. And so I fled. Now, this is interesting. Because this is Jonah justifying himself. Have you ever been there before? Well, the reason I don't obey you, God, is because fill in the blank. And he's justifying himself. But you can understand some of the emotion behind it now. In essence, what Jonah is saying is, God, I don't appreciate this part of your character when it applies to people I don't like.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hi, I'm Rob Newton, Program Director of Walk in Truth. Each week, I work alongside our host, Mike Massaro, editor Jared, and Pastor Michael to take his sermons and turn them into inspiring radio and podcast episodes. From writing scripts, recording, to editing, to mixing with music and announcements, we carefully craft each episode to reach listeners like you. This month, I want to invite you to be part of something powerful. By becoming a Walk in Truth partner for just $40 a month, you can help us continue broadcasting Pastor Michael's teachings to listeners seeking hope and encouragement on Kept FM in the Bay Area. In November, we set a goal of 40 new financial partners to help us broadcast in San Diego, and those 40 partners stepped up quickly. Thank you so much to all our new partners. If you're like many who connect deeply through audiobooks, radio, or podcasts, you know the impact these messages can have. Maybe you can help us reach more people? To show our gratitude, we'll send you a free copy of Pastor Michael's newly released book, Oh My Soul, March On With Strength, for your one-time or recurring donation of $40 or more. But a partnership is definitely appreciated. Visit walkintruth.com today and click donate. That's walkintruth.com, walkintruth.com, and thank you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
This is Jonah justifying himself. Have you ever been there before? Well, the reason I don't obey you, God, is because fill in the blank. And he's justifying himself, but you can understand some of the emotion behind it now. In essence, what Jonah is saying is, God, I don't appreciate this part of your character when it applies to people I don't like. I appreciate your compassion and being slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness when you deal with me. But when you do it to people I don't like, it really bugs me. And that's why I ran away. Ever been there before? How easy it is for us to rejoice and celebrate the goodness and compassion of God, but then after being a Christian for some time, sometimes we can be so quick to judge others. And we can say, oh, no. No more compassion in their life. In my life, it's cool. In my life, I like it that God is slow to anger. Literally, this Old Testament language in Hebrew means it means the nose burns, and it has the idea of the nose becoming hot. The Hebrew idiom for patient and slow to anger has the idea of literally being long of nose or being long-tempered as opposed to short-tempered. This is one of the characteristics of God. Go to Exodus, Genesis, Exodus. Go to chapter 34. This is what God declared to Moses when Moses was up on Sinai getting the law or creating the stone tablets under take two. Remember the first time he threw them down when the people had turned in idolatry? So Moses is back on Sinai for take two of the Ten Commandments. And it says in Exodus 34 these words. So he cut out two stone tablets like the former ones. And Moses rose up early in the morning, Exodus 34, 4, and he went up to Mount Sinai. As the Lord had commanded him, he took the two stone tablets in his hand. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he sat, as he called upon the name of the Lord, Exodus 34, 6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, this is what God says about himself. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Now, sometimes what people want to do is focus on that last part, but they miss the other part. The other part says he wants to show loving kindness to thousands and forgive anyone who will simply turn to him. That's the idea here. But nations and peoples continue to reject the God of the Bible. And because he is holy, at some point he will judge. But even up on Mount Sinai, which represents the law, God declared of himself these characteristics. This is what you can know about me, in essence. I am compassionate, verse 6. I am gracious. I am slow to anger. And I abound in loving kindness and truth. Please turn to Psalm 103. Kind of in the middle of your Old Testament there. And so we're to take on these characteristics of God. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, that's being long-tempered, showing forbearance to one another or putting up with one another in love. And so these are the characteristics that when God invades a life start to show through a life. You start to become slower to anger. How many of you can say that before becoming a Christian, you had an anger issue? I used to throw things, no matter how heavy they were, I just throw them. My sister loves the story when I tried to fix, I'm totally challenged when it comes to mechanical things. You all know that, but I am married to a very mechanically inclined woman, praise God. So anyway, so I was trying to fix a tire in their driveway one day, and it just wasn't cooperating. My brother-in-law's here too, and I took the jack and I did one of those, what is it, the shot put thing that you do? Just felt so much better after that. It's all the jack's fault. Not my fault. James 1, James says, this you know, my beloved brethren, let every one of you be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. In Psalm 103, are you there? Psalm 103. This is the beauty of our Lord, and this is what he's done for us. It says this, the Lord, verse 8, Psalm 103, is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us, that's me and you, according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions or sins from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. God knows how we are. He knows we're weak. He knows, like the song we sang in worship, we're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Even though you have been compassionate and gracious to me, so many times I find myself wandering from the God I love. For you note takers, I'm going to give you a section to go back and read later. Read Nehemiah 9, 15 through 31 and see how many times Nehemiah in his great prayer says God has been compassionate, and that whole prayer is about Israel and how many times he waited for Israel and how many times he should have judged them and he put up with Israel. Israel, Israel, God was compassionate. And it says in Joel 2:13. God is slow to anger in a book that's all about the day of the Lord, his final judgment. He is slow to anger, Joel 2:13. He is abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil. Gracious is the Lord, Psalm 116:5, and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The one thing that you can know about God, and sometimes we all have questions, don't we? Sometimes we have a file full of questions in life as to why things happen or why God doesn't act in certain circumstances, or at least we don't think he's acting. Maybe we don't see all the details and what's going on. But one thing that we can know about God is that he is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger, and all of these have the same kind of feel to them. And he is abundant in loving kindness. He delights in these things. So back in Jonah 4, verse 3. So what's Jonah's response going to be? Knowing what he knows about God, he's angry. And here's what Jonah says, Jonah 4, 3. Therefore, because you've done this, Lord, because you're this way, now, O Lord, Jonah 4, 3, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. Can you imagine being the tool of the greatest revival in human history? And after you see the people repent, and heaven is rejoicing, you say, Lord, kill me. Kill me now. I just can't stand that all those people came to you and you're not going to destroy them. I was banking on it. It's ruined my day. No, it's ruined my week. No, kill me. Ever been there before?
You've been listening to Jonah's Anger and God's Compassion, Part 1 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah chapter 4. And if you missed any part of today's program, you can listen to Walk in Truth on our free Living Truth app or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to see who's listening to Walk in Truth. Please follow us on Facebook or Instagram. You can find us at Walk in Truth Show. You can also leave us comments or questions there. Remember, search Walk in Truth Show on Facebook or Instagram. You can also find them on walkintruth.com. Now, here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, perhaps you would say, I can completely identify with Jonah's reaction to God's mercy because there are people in my life, and maybe you would say this even as a Christian, about some other Christians who have hurt me, and I'm not sure I want to forgive them. Maybe you have a person from your past, and they hurt you deeply with words or actions or both. And forgiveness seems like a million miles away. Can I extend the same mercy to them as God extended to me in Christ? And maybe you would say, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if I can genuinely say I'm ready right now to do that. What do you do in cases like that? I think you have to ask the Lord to make you ready. It doesn't mean you need to be a doormat for people, but it means that the same forgiveness that we've received in Christ, we are called to extend to others, even to those that we really struggle with. I think about the story in Matthew 18, you know, when the king forgave his servant that incredibly unpayable deed, and then the servant went out and he had a little debt from another servant that owed him some money, and he would not show the same mercy that he had been given by the king. And of course, the king wasn't happy about it. So if we want to live the gospel, we're going to have to extend forgiveness in situations like this. And we extend it because of the same mercy we've received. I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying it'll happen at a snap of a finger. But I do believe that God is faithful to give us exactly what we need. Like Stephen, even when he was being stoned, saying, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. And we do believe that the Apostle Paul, who was also known as Saul, was standing there. We know he was standing there that day, according to the book of Acts. And it left, well, a very deep impression on his heart about the gospel. That's who we are. We live the gospel. And it's a beautiful thing to be a person who can extend that forgiveness to others. We need God's help, but with God's help, you can do it in your marriage. If you're struggling in your marriage right now, you can do it if you have a familial relationship that's been in a rough place. You know, forgiveness is the great expression of the gospel. And I believe that the Lord will give you what you need to do just that. Hey, if we can help you in any way, you can reach out to us through the website, which is walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com. We're excited that you would check it out. And we also would encourage you to think about becoming a monthly partner to find out about more about the ministry and the resources available. Go to the website today. Check it out. It's walkintruth.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Also, more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. Please consider becoming a Walk in Truth monthly partner of at least $40 a month, or give a one-time gift. Please visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part two of Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah chapter 4, called Jonah's Anger and God's Compassion.
And the people of Nineveh will stand up in this generation, says Jesus, of Jonah, and they will condemn it, because at least Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, but one greater than Jonah is here. And in essence, he says, you won't turn. The very God who made you, the God that you claim to worship, the God of your temple, the God in all over your Bible, I'm here. You won't come to me.
I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.